Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again as we go into your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come to be with us, Father, to open our hearts and minds to be receptive so that we, Father, can get a greater understanding of this, your word, and that we can grow in knowledge, in wisdom, to be better equipped to work with and to help others, Father, that's in need of the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives, so that they too, Father, can be saved and make heaven their home. Now, Father, we ask too that if we have done anything this day that has been displeasing to you, Father, we ask you to forgive us and let us know, Father, what it is that we have done so that we don't repeat it and do it again. Be with us now, Father, throughout this study. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. All of you that's going to take communion, get your bread. And we know that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. So take your bread. Now get your cup. And after the same manner also, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Drink your cup. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Now this evening, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 6. Now, it's not a real long chapter, 20 verses. But there's a whole lot to it. So we'll see. And we'll receive what the Lord wants us to receive and to have. All right. Verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. 2. Of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. 3. And this will we do if God permit. Now, the readers are encouraged to go on to maturity by leaving the elementary teaching of the Word. The word for perfection has both an absolute and relative sense. Its relative sense involves maturity, is expressed here. The six representative doctrine listed here involves three sets. The elementary teaching concerning conversion itself and the post-conversion experience and teaching on last things. And eschatology is included here among the first truths rather than as deeper truths. The mere study of the last things does not demonstrate spiritual maturity. The practical changes these eschatological truths produce manifest maturity. As we go in to 4 through 6, we find here he continues on with, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew again them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. All right, now. This passage does not teach that one can lose his salvation through disbelief or apostasy. These verses refer to a hypothetical situation whereby the author stresses what would happen to a saved person if he could fall away. The author does not believe one can lose his salvation or that his readers had, but he so speaks to demonstrate the folly some might have in imagining that they can turn back to Judaism without suffering loss. And though the author is not writing about his readers, he still is writing for their sake. And if they shall fall away is the translation given to the fifth principle of the passage. This is a legitimate and even common grammatical usage by the author within the warning passage. And even the first four participles refer to the actual blessing, whereas number five describes a potential situation and so can be translated unlike the first four. Now, but you see, he goes on in telling his readers in the early churches, plus you and I, the important point about Hebrew 6 is that it agrees with the general tender of Scripture concerning the security of the born-again believer. One basis for the security of the believer involves the promise recorded in God's Word. And you know, yet an even stronger basis for security is found within the nature of the new life God gives through conversion, and involves man's will. It is God's will that produces regeneration. Thus, salvation is infinitely more than a decision that one can make and then break. It is the work of God that transforms one from darkness to light and from death to life, from a child of the devil to a son of God. It is a completed, regenerating work. You are saved, or you have been saved, and stand saved. Now, as we get in here now to 7, he says, for the earth which drinketh in the rain, that cometh often upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them, by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessings from God. You see, everything you and I get comes from God and comes through the Lord Jesus Christ and brought to you and I by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. When God is wanting you and I to do something, He'll let us know by the guidance and the speaking of the Holy Spirit. Now, 8. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Now, you see, all of those that will not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are like thorns and briars among the believers of God. And he's telling them here that they are rejected and they are nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Well, we know because we are told several times in the Word of God what will happen to those that leave this life as unbelievers. Eventually, they will wind up at the great white throne judgment, and along with Satan and his evil demons and hell itself, and all unbelievers will be cast into a lake of fire that will burn forever. and you'll never die. You'll be in that torment throughout eternity with no way out. Is that really what you want? It's not what I want. No. He's made a way for us to miss it. And that's by walking in his word and in the truth of it. Not what we think or what we want to individually believe, but what it is saying and telling you and I to do or not to do. And when it says don't do something, he means exactly that, because he does not lie. That's one thing God cannot do. God cannot lie. 10. No, 9. I'm sorry. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accomplish salvation, though we thus speak. 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And you see, there are so many things that we need to be doing. And we are doing a lot of things right now in reaching out to help others that are in need, not only spiritually, but also that's in physical need, health-wise, food-wise, and financial health. And as we grow, we'll be able to help more and more and more as we go. Because as we add to the church, we'll be adding to the bank account. And none of us are paid. Take anything from that. It is used for the purpose and the work of this ministry in reaching out to others. And this is what Christianity is all about. And that's also why we are to pay tithes. But you know, we've got people out there that say, well, I'd love to pay tithes, but I can't pay tithes. I give an offering every now and then, but I can't pay tithes. You know, I thought that way for a long time. And I kept getting further in debt, further in debt, further in debt, until the Lord let me see that regardless of how many I owed, I also owed him, because I was spending his money. Because that first 10% of my pay did not belong to me. It was his. And it was to be taken to his storehouse on the first day of the week, so that they would be, as the word says, meat in his house. In other words, they would be the help there that is needed. And right now we are helping children in several different places overseas. We are helping out in Israel with their attacks and all that's going on. We are also helping American Native children here in the United States. And we're helping also to hospitals. And this does take finances. And that's why, but as I was telling you, when he let me see and know that I needed to be paying tithes, I was over $90,000 in debt, living paycheck to paycheck. And I'll tell you something else. When I took that first tithe check, I had to call a couple of my creditors and just let them know. I didn't tell them what. I just told them something had come up and I was short. I'd catch them up just as soon as I could. But you know, it wasn't but a few days later that I was able to catch them up. Things changed in my life. And within just a short space of time, all of my debts were paid. The only debts that I owe right now are those of electric, my phone bill, insurance on the property, and on my automobile. My automobile is paid for, but it has to have insurance on it. But that's all it's owed. Other than that, God has seen me to be debt-free. But I had to start paying him his. Now, as we go on now, here in verse 11, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Now, you see, this slothful means that we can't be lazy. We're not to be lazy. We're to do and to be on the work that God has for us, as well as the things we have to do as we go through this life. 13, for when God made promises to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. 14, saying, surely blessings I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. 15, and so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. 16, for men verily swear by the greater, and oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. 17, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. 18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong constellation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Now, those verses 13 through 18, God's covenant with Abraham, which involves salvation, is secured, being based upon two immutable things, that is, elements that cannot change. First, God's promise is based on his own unchanging word. He cannot lie, nor will he allow his word to fail. Further, his word was confirmed by an oath, and since he can swear by no greater, he swears by himself. He rests his word on his holy character. Now, as we go into 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. 20. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, starting at the end of verse 18, the author uses three pictures to demonstrate the security of being in Christ. First, it is described as a safe retreat for the believer, as were the six cities of refuge in the Old Testament to those allowed their protection. Second, our hope is sure and steadfast, as is a well-pleased, unbending anchor. Our anchor is not located in the deepest sea, but in the highest heaven. The third figure is like that of a forerunner, though the figure changes, the location does not. Our forerunner is likewise positioned in the sanctuary of heaven as our forerunner. We're talking about this forerunner, naturally, is the Lord Jesus. And Jesus is far different from the Old Testament priests. In the sanctuary, they could intercede for the people, but they could not lead the people in themselves. As our forerunner, Jesus has opened the way before us that eventually and certainly we might enter in with him. Now, you see, we have a high priest that is our forerunner, that not only is sitting in heaven himself, but has made the way for you and I to join him and be there throughout eternity. It's up to all of mankind, because you see, we have been given a choice. We have the ability to choose how we want to live our lives. So we can choose to either walk in the word of Almighty God and serve him and make heaven our home, or we can follow Satan and the ways of this world, wanting the good things of this world more than wanting to lay up treasures in heaven, and end up in eternity in that lake of fire. This is what we need to be thinking about. Because let me tell you something. It's not as far off as you think. But for each one of us, we don't know how long we have. None of us do. Only the Lord Jesus knows, because he has laid out our life, and he has things for us. Now, what we choose will determine a lot of things. Think about it. And think what you really want. Do you want to run the risk of hell and that lake of fire? Or would you rather go to be with Jesus and spend that eternity in heaven with him and the Father and all? Oh, think about it. Think about it. No more sorrow, no more tears, no more crying, being filled with joy. And you can be filled with a lot of that joy right now, right here on this earth, by choosing to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the door. He is the gate. He is the way and the only way of making heaven our home. I pray that you have gotten something from this Bible study this evening that has really brought you some joy and that has refreshed your memory and give you something new to hold on to make you stronger in the Word and with the Lord Jesus, and give you more courage and boldness to stand with him. Now, let us pray. Father, as I close your word, I thank you for your word. Father, I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Father, for the times that we can come together to share your love and your word with each other. Because, Father, I do know that you love us. And we need to be sharing that with each other. And I pray for Israel in our land, Father, that both will have peace. But even more than that, Father, I pray that both will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. And that, Father, I pray that both that has these evil leaders sitting in high places be removed from office and be replaced, Father, by those that walk with you, that love you, love the Lord Jesus, that loves the church, loves your people, and loves their country. And Father, that will work with us to put our land back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I pray for those that are part of this ministry and those that listen to it that has not become a part of it yet, but they will come in and join with us and listen. And I pray for all to walk in health, walk in safety. And I ask the Holy Spirit to work with their families because we all have family members that are walking in darkness. And may the Holy Spirit help to bring them from darkness to light, that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, those that are of this ministry, Kenny Powers, we know he has a problem, Father, with his foot. I'm praying right now, Father, for that to be healed. Heal it, Father. Make him whole. But also heal the cause of that foot being in the shape it's in. For Dennis Lee, Father, I pray for Dennis. I pray for his family to keep them, Father, in health. Keep them safe. Now, Father, for Amy, Tom, Jacob, I pray, Father, for them to be brought closer with us. And Bobby and Millie, I pray for Millie. Millie hurt her ankle. She is getting better. We did pray for her, and she is up now on it, walking around. And we thank you for that, Father. And Father, my wife, I'm praying, Father, for her memory to be renewed and brought to normal. And Father, for myself, I thank you for the difference you've made in my life and for thy healing power upon me, Father. Now, Father, I pray for Courtney and Shane that they'll come out of darkness and into light and straighten their lives out. And for Chris and Sam, his wife, and their little children, their little family. Father, I pray that that family comes to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, this I pray this evening and ask that you keep us through the night safe. Bring us together in the morning at 10 a.m. and back into your word. Father, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. God bless. And I hope that you got something good out of it. Something that will help you. And I pray that you'll all be back with me in the morning at 10. Have a good night now, a good evening, and a good night.